I guess we're still at Calvi Vari, and I'm here to talk about the Living Pickpocket in New York with director Noah Segan and actor Will Price, and they're both here. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hello. So happy to
doing
be here.
Great. Yeah.
How has Calvi Vari been treating you so far?
It's incredibly beautiful. We are here at the Hotel Poop. I keep calling it Brigadoon. Like, it feels like I'm in a fairy tale.
I was about to put on the Grand Budapest in the room because it's the inspiration. It feels like a storybook or something.
You have presented this film at a number of festivals. It premiered at Sundance earlier this year in February. How many festivals did you do so far with the film?
Took it to Sundance, and then you took it to the...
Biennale after Sundance. Then we had a little break, and now we're here with you.
I hope you're not too exhausted from the festival journey. Let us talk a little bit about the genesis of this film. Noah, when did you start developing this story?
I started working on the concept when we were shooting the first Knives Out movie. I was working on the first Benoit Blanc detective story with my friends, and I had this idea of putting like an analog character in a digital world. Because we were working on Knives Out, I think, you know, I had this murder mysteries are also very kind of analog, you know, it's like clockwork making a murder mystery work. So I was kind of working on this concept, and then I mentioned it to my friend Ryan Johnson, who's a writer-director of those movies and my old friend, and he said, you know, you should keep working on it because if this movie does okay, maybe we'll start a little company. We'll be able to make our own movies. 8 years later, here we are.
It's also one of these classical New York movies that in some ways feels very retro styled, like those films that came out in the 70s and the 80s that often were crime dramas about, and also a lot about New York and its characters and its atmosphere, and not just about a dramatic plot. Were these films an inspiration, and were there maybe particular films where you say, these inspired me to do this film?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in New York. I'm many generations. My family's been in New York. So I think there was something about the New York I grew up in wanting to speak to that. As a kid, looking at, of course, Abel Ferrara, Elaine May, a lot of these movies that were made in the 70s and the 80s that were more, yes, crime-oriented. But then even later movies, you know, Hal Hartley or Nicole Holof Center, movies that are more just about drilling down into character and people, letting people be themselves.
Will, tell us how you jumped on board the story.
I sent in an audition tape. Noah and I hopped on a call. We sort of talked through how Noah saw the character and how I saw the character, and it was pretty clear that we were aligned on a lot of things. And then he gave me some films to watch.
Do you remember any of those?
Yeah, it was Leon the Professional, particularly the Gary Oldman role, because he's sort of like a disruptor in the story. And Dylan in this movie, I think similarly, is a disruptor, and he has to come into the plot in a few key moments, make sure that the story is propelled. And then the Ray Liotta performance and Something Wild by the great Jonathan Demme. Those are the two big ones I latched onto because similarly they catapult the plot. Sort of had my own ideas about it. Actually not dissimilar to Steve Buscemi's character in Fargo, where he's sort of bumbling, trying to get the reins on the plan. Noah and I talked, and then we had a chemistry with John, and it was very clear that we had a rapport and we had a dynamic. And I think Noah and I are, from a taste standpoint, very aligned.
John was very, very emphatic, even from when we looked at your first audition before we ever met. He was like, oh, that's the guy. And then we learned about Will, and it had not been long since you had finished conservatory. And,
yeah,
you know, the idea, you know, John is he really believes in the, I don't want to say just the education of performance and acting, but like the act of studying, the act that was something he really, like, even before he knew you, he felt like he could connect with you on. And then after you guys met and worked together, he was like, yeah, I remember you leaving and him like walking out. It's a guy. It's him. It's a guy.
And John himself is such a student of exactly, things. Yeah. He learned how to do some of the pickpocketing in the film. And he's a real, one of those actors. Like, not only is he one of like the great actors of his generation, but he is still learning and trying to better himself as an actor. So it was really great to watch him and learn from him.
So did you get pickpocketed by John Turturro on the set?
Yes.
It's very funny because you hope, right, that you get shoot more than you need. That's the hope. Never the case. It never works out that way. But that's why you have editing. And there was a scene where a shot where John is pickpocketing Will's character. Of course, in the edit, I was like, we're going to want to hide this, not reveal it right away.
Yeah, you're not going to see.
But we wanted to shoot it to have it. And John was like, well, then I'm going to do it perfectly. And I remember kind of like, we did a few takes of it. And
it's also pouring rain.
And it's pouring rain, and it's like late, and it's nighttime, and there's all these reasons why it's like, okay. And I remember John just going, I want to do this and get it perfect. with it because it's my joy. It's the joy that I have. And I was like, I remember thinking about looking at the two of you
it's a simple
in the
pleasure.
Rain and thinking like, this is what brings you guys joy, yeah. Is doing it, you know? And it's like a very simple thing, but it was very profound to see that between the two of you, between two actors doing this.
And you can't argue with that.
No.
If an actor for a very selfless reason just wants to do something, I think it's like,
it was really warm my heart.
What's your relation to New York?
I lived in New York for 4 years. I love New York. It's my favorite city. I've been very lucky to be a part of a few movies that I would consider like a modern New York movie that are the evolution of the city in a lot of ways. I did a film called Eleanor the Great that Scarlett Johansson directed, and it's sort of in the vein of a classic New York feeling movie. And you know, Scarlett's a New Yorker and Noah's a New Yorker, and they both made these very New York movies. I grew up loving so many movies that are set in New York. I love going back and watching something like, you know, Hannah and Her Sisters, and you see the old school downtown. You see the way the city's evolved. I think that what Sam Levy, our DP, did is capture a city that feels very modern, but also feels super timeless as well. There are shots in this film that look like they could have been out of film from the 70s, but they also feel very modern. And I think to be a part of a truly like New York movie like this one is very cool, and it makes me feel like I'm more of a New Yorker than
you are. We've talked it out. All the New Yorkers have talked it out, and we're extending you a membership. Congratulations.
We shot this pre Knicks win. John, the biggest Knicks fan.
New York is back.
You've worked with a number of big actors in this film. We have Giancarlo Esposito, we have Steve Buscemi, of course John Turturro in the main role, and Jamie Lee Curtis has this great cameo. How was it? How much did you actually interact?
I have some small moments with Steve, and Steve's one of those actors. I feel like my first exposure to him was probably Monsters, Inc. But as I watched more movies, I'm a big fan of a lot of these guys. I think I was watching or just finished Breaking Bad when we were shooting this. So it's like these are all actors that are people I admire. And as a young actor, when you have the opportunity to step up to the plate with some of these people that are not only great actors, but like really hard workers, I think that's a special opportunity. Because all of these guys are like true New York actors. That's different than maybe no shade on Los Angeles.
Which city I'm gonna shame.
No, but they're real New Yorkers, and there's a work ethic that comes with that.
There is definitely a style. I think there's a style of actor from London. There's a style of actor from Australia. There's a style of actor from Paris and Tokyo. No matter what, there's going to be a sort of cultural influence, I think, and school influence. You know, what is going on in that city? What's going on with their theater scene? And what's going, you know, are there independent movies? Are there TV shows? Like, what's being shot there?
Noah, how is it to move on from acting to directing? Would you say there's a specific directing style that fits actors?
It's much easier to write and direct movies than it is to act in them. I traded like the hardest job in for like the other hardest job. I'm just a masochist is I think what it comes down to. You have to love actors. If you're an actor, it's just, you know, it's easy to... Every actor loves themselves, you know? So it's just sort of an extension. It's like I look at the other actors and I think of them like my extended family and I love them.
I think you feel that in the movie John, especially.
You're a fan.
You're a genuine
fan. I think good directors always love actors. I think good directors understand that you giving the movie to the actor in the way that I think people who are screenwriters who don't direct are giving the movie to a director, offering the movie to someone else, eventually to an audience. How did it happen? I think, I don't know. I mean, I have always just love working on movies. And I think being able to write was the beginning of realizing there were other ways than just acting that I could be involved with movies.
How did you get this great cast? Did one actor draw the other in?
We paid everyone millions and millions of dollars. Well, we paid the most. It was
That's also true.
We had a very low budget. Nobody got paid a lot of money. How did we get actors? Got to a point where we had felt with the producers, the script was in a good place, and we sent it to John. We sent it to the most New York icon we could think of. And that's all you do is you send the script and you say, well, I hope. And you think to yourself, well, of course, John Turturro's going to say no. And then we're going to talk to 10 other people, 20 other people. Maybe the movie will never get made. You've been doing it long enough. And you have big hopes and low expectations.
Who else from the cast of Do the Right Thing?
And yeah, exactly. Yeah, and John read the script right away. We got him it was a good day, I think. Maybe he didn't have much to do. He read the script and he said, let's have lunch. And it was funny because I think he assumed I was in New York. He assumed I lived in New York, which is a good assumption to make. And so he said, let's have lunch tomorrow. And I called Ryan. I called the producer, who was my friend, and he was a filmmaker who I trust very much. And I said, John Turturro read the script. He wants to have lunch tomorrow. And as I'm talking to him, I can hear him typing. And he goes, well, you're booked on a flight for tomorrow. I just booked you, and here's your hotel, and you better get to the fucking airport, man, and do this. And it was like, there was no thinking. There was no, I went to New York. Yes. You know, someone like John, who is so prolific and also beloved. He's just working with his neighbors. He's working. Steve's his neighbor. Giancarlo, they've known each other 40 years. I mean, these are just relationships and friendships and colleagues.
We already talked about the films that inspired this film, but did you also, both of you, like, research a little the criminal sphere and those characters living on the fringes of society, like the ones in the film? Or would you say it's mostly a fictional world? Like,
I did some research on the way that crime has evolved in New York, because Dylan is definitely like a descendant of like sort of a more classic maybe mafia like crime situation. I mean, one of the biggest things that actually John enlightened me about is pickpocketing now happens a lot of times through QR codes on menus, where people replace the QR code and steal your information, which is interesting because in my hotel room here, I like scanned the room service menu and then my phone flagged it as a potentially hazardous website. It might be impersonating the room service menu. I didn't go to the room service menu because I wasn't
sure.
Now
you're really hungry.
But now I'm sort of I'm really hungry. But then I was sort of wondering if maybe someone had gone into the room before me and had replaced the room service QR code. And I'm like, what a brilliant...
That's the sequel.
I know, that is the sequel.
Oh my gosh.
John, what was the guy? Apollo?
Apollo Robbins, who's one of very few professional open pickpockets, sleight of hand. You know, there's a lot of overlap with magicians, of course, performance art and that sort of thing, because being an actual criminal, you don't want anyone to know who you are. And so Apollo Robbins, we employed to help John learn some of the physical acts of his job.
Now that you did this project together, each of you, like, do you have something new lined up?
In the film industry, if you can find someone that you feel aligned with and like you have fun with, that's the coolest thing when actors continue to work with directors. I want to work with Noah on a lot of more movies.
Ultimately, like, do you have other projects that you have lined up, like in the future in general?
No, he's only going to work.
Only
no.
Signed for life.
I have a film called Artificial that's directed by Luca Guadagnino that's coming out in the fall.
Speaking of directors hiring the same actor, he's worked with him a few times now.
I was in After the Hunt with Luca, and I'm in Artificial, and you know, that's the thing Luca does. He brings back actors. I'm about to go start the second season of The Chair Company. I did a movie that Mon Apatow directed called Poetic License, which is going to get released. And then some stuff that is bubbling.
And how about you, Noah?
I should be writing right now.
And said you're doing interviews. What the fuck?
I am finding time. I am finding the time to write. And I think Will and hopefully more of the gang will all be back together in 2027.
So what are you writing? Could you tell us that? Just a little bit, like, what direction or what genre?
I really like adventure movies. There aren't enough of them. I think it would be really fun to make a movie that feels like an adventure.
We'll be adventurous to see us. So thank you so much, guys, for this interview.
Thank you.